We have spent a great deal of time in the Gospel of John, and we stopped at John chapter 20 with the resurrection of Jesus, and today we're going to finish the Gospel of John with John chapter 21, and the title of my message today is Come and Follow Me. Throughout the Gospel of John, the author invites us to come and see so many things about Jesus, to get to know him for who he is, not in our own understanding, but throughout the entire understanding of Scripture, who they believed Jesus would be, who the Old Testament says he would be from even before the foundations of the earth all the way into his resurrection. So John invites us to really see a lot about who Jesus is, but the way that it ends is with an invitation. And so if you would turn with me to John chapter 21, I will be reading out of the TLV, the Tree of Life version, so it may be a little bit different than yours, but that's okay. So John chapter 21 opens up like this. Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, James, John, and two other disciples were all together. Now, since Jesus died and was placed in the tomb, the disciples often found themselves together because there was all kinds of stuff going on in their lives. And so I think they found comfort with the people that they knew the most about. And so they were together, these seven disciples, and they went fishing. So they go out on the Bible may call it the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee. The Bible calls it several different names depending on kind of who was in charge at the time. But the Sea of Galilee, and they're out and they fish all night long. And guess what they caught? They fished like me. They didn't catch anything at all. And so they're out on the boat all night long. Oh, that was funny to some of y'all, huh? But they didn't catch anything. So at dawn, they are just out. I can imagine at dawn, they're pulling in their nets, and Jesus appears out of nowhere, just like he had the two previous times. And so he appears out of nowhere on the banks of the Sea of Galilee. And so basically he says to them, he's like, hey, boys, you don't happen to have any fish, do you? And so they're like, no, we don't have any fish at all. Verse 6, he says to them, throw the net off the right side of the boat and you'll find some. And so they threw the net and they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Now you hear that and you may think, I think that's happened before. It has. It's the same thing that happened in Luke chapter 5 when Peter, James, and John fished all night, didn't catch a single thing. And so Jesus had just finished preaching to a large crowd and they were pressing in and pressing in. And so he goes to the shore and he sees a boat and he gets in this boat and he tells them, you know, as they're like reeling in their nets, just like this again, hey, you catch anything? They said, no, cast your nets out. And they pull in so many fish that all of the boats that they're in begin to sink. And so John realized that at this point that it was Jesus. And so he screams out, oh, look, it's the Lord. And Peter had taken off his outer coat. He wraps it around him. He jumps in the water and swims to shore because he's so excited. And the other six disciples row the boat back. I mean, they were only like 100 yards, you know, so they're like a football field out, right? And so the other disciples row the boat back with all the fish. And when they get there, they see that there's this charcoal fire. There's a fire there that already has fish on it. Jesus has already cooked fish. He's already made some bread. And he says to them, bring some of the fish that you've caught. And Simon Peter went on board and he hauled the net to shore. And there were 153 fish. Many of them were big, but the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, come have breakfast. Now, I don't know what 153 fish have to do with anything, and most scholars don't either. That's what the Bible says. There's just a lot of fish, and most of them were big. And so they sit down and they eat breakfast together with Jesus. And this was the third time that Jesus had appeared to them since his resurrection. And so this is just like the story in Luke 5. Whatever the disciples were doing was not working. You ever feel that way in life? You ever come to a place in life that, like, whatever you try, it is just not working? It could be with your career, could be as parents, like no matter what you try, it just doesn't work, or with your spouse, or with your own parents, with your relationship with Christ. You may feel like, yeah, just, you know, I try and pray, I try and read my Bible, I try and journal, but just not working. Nothing in your life seems to be working. Well, that's kind of the same place that the disciples find themselves. But the reality is that apart from Christ and obedience to his commands, everything that we do in this life will amount to nothing. Even if the world says that we have everything, everything that we try and do on our own will amount to nothing in the eyes of eternity. It's a very familiar concept. It's as if John is trying to remind us again that Jesus, what Jesus said in John chapter 15, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. It's also as if John's reminding us of what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, where Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. I believe that we all want to have a fruitful and joyful life, but the reality is that we have to listen to the words of God. So we have to know what his word says, and we have to live according to his word. It's one thing to know what the Bible says. It's a completely different thing to live your life according to what Scripture says. And so the one who believes is obedient. If we believe in Christ, then we become obedient to his word. And the only one who is obedient to his word is one that fully believes it. Jesus also tells us that good fruit has to come from a good tree. We cannot separate Christ from his gifts. If we want to have the gifts of the Spirit in our life, if we want to live a joyful and fruitful life, the only way that we can do it is to be connected to Christ. So the question that I want us to think about today is, do we follow him? Do we truly follow Christ, not in theory, not in ideals, not in hopes, but do we practically follow Christ each and every single, not even each and every single day? Do we follow Christ every moment of our life? Is that our desire to follow Christ each and every waking moment? And so John goes on to tell us in chapter 21 that after breakfast, Jesus asks Peter three times if he loves him. Now, many scholars will go into the debate of the word, the particular word that Jesus and Peter use for love here. And Jesus asked Peter, said, do you agape me? Do you fully, truly love me? And Peter's like, yeah, I phileo you, which means I love you as a friend, because that's all that Peter knew. Peter was offering Jesus the best love that he had, but Jesus was offering Peter something that he didn't have. But the thing is, Jesus says, do you love me three times? And we see this basically as a restoration of Peter's three denials of Christ just a few weeks later. Jesus says, do you love me? Peter says, yes. And after that, Jesus says, then feed my lambs. A second time, he goes and he says, do you love me? Peter says, yes. Jesus says, take care of my sheep. The third time, and Jesus says, do you love me? And Peter's like, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus says to him, feed my sheep. In all of those declarations, in all of those declarations of love to Christ, the guilt that Peter had fades away. And not only is the guilt taken away, but Peter is instructed to walk in the calling that Christ has for him, to feed his sheep, to take care of his church, to shepherd the new church that will be built on the day of Pentecost. Jesus tells him, take care of his sheep. In verse 18, it says, amen, amen, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. Now, Jesus said this to indicate by what type of death Peter was going to glorify God. And after this, Jesus said to him, follow me. While Peter failed, the resurrected Jesus met him with grace and mercy, asked him three times if he fully loved Jesus in order to restore him, showing him and showing us that our failures do not define us. The words of Christ define us. Christ himself, our resurrected Lord and Savior, defines us, gives us purpose, gives us a calling, gives us meaning in this life. And not only that, but he calls us out of our failures, out of our guilt, out of our sin and shame, and he calls us into a new life to follow him, a life that is built on faith and obedience. Luke 9:23 says, when Jesus was saying to everyone, if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross every day, and follow me. He had just told Peter that Peter was basically going to face the same type of death that he faced on the cross. And yet Peter didn't see himself worthy enough to die in the same way. So he asked the people that crucified him to crucify him upside down. And so he knew that he was going to face death for Christ, but he followed him anyway. If anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his own cross, take up your own form of death each and every single day and follow me. Following Christ comes at a cost. Are you willing to pay it? Are you willing to pay the price to follow Christ? Following Jesus requires us to put aside our interests, our own desires, and allow God's agenda to take priority in our lives every single moment. And it's not just each one of us doing that individually, but together as the body of Christ, because the church are the hands and feet of Jesus. So we have to do it individually and we have to do it collectively as the body of Christ if we want to make a difference in this world. You see, when Christ calls a man, Dietrich Bonhoeffer says he bids him come and die. But it's the same death every time. Death in Jesus, which is death to the old man at Christ's call. But that's not the end of the story, though, because where there is death to the old man, Christ gives us life in him. The Bible tells us that he laid down his life so that we could pick up his. He died so that we may live. And so when we follow Christ, we die to our own selves, pick up the life of Christ. But we can do this. Each and every single one of us can do this because the Bible promises us that we will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead enables us to walk out each and every single day in his purpose. So are you truly accepting the call to follow after Christ? Peter turns around and he sees John, the one that Jesus loved. And in verse 21, it says, seeing him, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, what about him? You have to understand that there's this, like the whole time that they had been with Jesus, there's like this bickering in the background about who's going to be the greatest, who's going to lead the church. Well, like the reality is that Jesus said that upon Peter's confession of faith, he was going to build his church, which means he's building his church upon the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. It's that declaration of faith that he's building his church. Peter didn't set up a line of people that we think are the Pope. Like, that's not what the Bible says at all. And so there's this bickering going on back and forth of who's going to be the greatest, who's going to be in charge, who's going to get to do the most miracles and all this stuff. And Jesus says here, when Peter says, like, hey, Lord, what about that one? Jesus says to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is it to you? Follow me. One thing that will kill your joy in life faster than anything else is comparison. Teddy Roosevelt once said, comparison is the thief of joy. Every minute that you spent wishing you had someone else's life is a minute that you have wasted your own. Jesus said, don't worry about him, you follow me. If you spend your entire life looking at what somebody else has, you're not going to be able to do the things that Jesus has called you to do. We cannot compare ourselves to others. Jesus is very plain here. No matter what is going on in your life or someone else's life, Jesus' call is for us to follow him. Philippians 4:11 through 13. I'm not saying this because I'm in need. For whatever circumstance I am in, I have learned to be content. I know what it is to live with humble means. I know what it is to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret to contentment. both to be filled and to go hungry, to have abundance and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know we like to say that. Yeah, amen. I know we like to stand up and we like to say, look, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. But what he's saying is, look, it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. You're having a tough time, you can do it anyway. Is everything great in your life? You got it. You can handle it because it's Christ who gives you strength. If you're hungry, you don't have enough food to put on the table, Christ will still give you strength to get through the situation. If you have abundance, Christ will still give you strength to get through the situation. No matter what your circumstances, Jesus calls you to follow him. No matter what happens in someone else's life, follow Christ. No matter what happens in your life, follow Christ. It's one thing to trust God when everything is working out and the path in your life is clear. It's easy, no problems. We all like to follow Christ like that. But it's another thing entirely when Christ calls you into something that doesn't fit with your plan, with your understanding, with your comfort, or even more, with your own capacity. Have you ever felt like the Lord's calling you to do something that you know that there is absolutely no way you can do it in and of yourself? That's exactly the place that you want to be. It's exactly the place where you want to be, because that is when God begins to move in mighty and powerful ways in your own life. That's usually when faith steps in. We all believe that we want to have faith, but we really don't pray for situations where we can live in faith, where we can act our faith out. But that's usually when faith steps in, when we come to the end of our own capacity, right where our understanding ends, then faith begins. This is the type of surrender that God uses for his glory and for our good. He uses it for his glory first, because our life, our calling, our purpose is to bring him glory, but he also uses it for our good, both now and in eternity. So the question is, will you follow him? Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says this, "Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us get rid of every weight, every entangling sin. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, focusing on Jesus, our Yeshua, the initiator and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. He has taken a seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary in your souls and lose heart." It says that he went to the cross. That was the joy that was set before him. It's completely opposite of anything and everything that the world would say. The cross that represents suffering and pain was joy for Jesus. Why? Because it's through the cross, it's through his sacrifice on the cross, the shedding of his blood, the laying down of his life, that we get to be in relationship with him. He found joy in the pain and suffering on the cross because he knew that it would redeem us. His life laid down gives us new life, redeems us, sets us free, enables us to live the life that we could never live without him. Jesus made the way for each and every single one of us. Not only did he make the way, but the Bible tells us that he is the way. He is the way through which we receive everlasting life for all of eternity. But he is also the way through which we are fulfilled and live a purposeful life here and now. The same invitation that Jesus offered to Peter, he offers to each and every single one of us. Come and follow me. All of his disciples left what they had and they followed him. Are you willing to leave behind the things of this world, the things that will amount to nothing for eternity, to follow Christ? Are you willing to lay down your own ambition, your own desires, your own pride, your own ego? To lay down the fruits of the flesh and pick up the life of Christ. Verse 24, John 21 says this, This is John's witness. This is the disciple who's an eyewitness of these things. So we know that everything that we read in this gospel is true because John witnessed it himself and he wrote these things down. We know that his testimony is true. There are many other things that Jesus did. If all of them were to be written one by one, I suppose that you would not even, that the world would not even itself have room for the books being written. Jesus did great and mighty things. He continues to do great and mighty things each and every single day. Do you believe that's true? The only way that those things happen are through believers. Jesus works in mighty and miraculous ways through each and every single one of us. He wants to work in a mighty way through you, but you have to be willing to follow him. I have to be willing to follow him each and every single day. We have to listen to that small, still voice sometimes, and then sometimes like he's like hitting us upside the head, like, hey, this is what you got to do. Whether he is like getting at you or whether it's the small, still voice, you have to listen to him and follow him. And I believe that he has given each and every single one of us the desire to do that. But will you listen? Will you accept the call? I'm not necessarily talking about salvation, but if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says all we have to do is confess and believe. It's that simple. Confess our sins, confess our faults, confess our failures, and believe in the work that Jesus did on the cross, that he came to earth, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, paid the punishment for our sins. And not only did he die, but he arose again. And the Bible tells us that he's at the right hand of the Father right now interceding for us. Believe what he did. That's salvation. But I'm also talking about walking out a life each and every single day that is obedient to the commands of Christ, because I think somewhere along the way we got it twisted and we believe, okay, I got saved, I'm good. Salvation is not the culmination of your relationship with Christ. If that's what you believe, I'm afraid that you have believed a lie, ladies and gentlemen. Salvation is just the beginning point in our experience with Christ, because he has so much for you. There are deep and hidden things. The Holy Spirit, like here's probably the most important thing about the Holy Spirit that we miss. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit searches the heart of God. The very God in heaven that we just got through singing about, show me your face, show me your face. The Holy Spirit searches the heart of God, but the Holy Spirit is also available in us to work through us, to search our own hearts, to show us the deep and hidden things. That's what it means. Like the Holy Spirit is available to us to show us the very hidden things in the heart of God expressed through his word. And to be obedient to those things each and every single day. Every moment, every thought, every action, to be in line with the Word of God as expressed in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you need salvation, we want to pray with you today to receive Christ, but more importantly, we want to pray for you to have the ability and the power to walk with Christ each and every single day. The praise team's coming, the prayer team is coming. I want to invite you to spend just a few minutes with us in prayer. If you will, please stand.